Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
11th pick of round number 2, defensive tackle out of Texas, Alfred Collins. Sterling, we were talking earlier as we welcome you back to draft night here on 95.7 The Game. Sterling Bennett, I'm Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game. We were trying to find the common characteristic out of all four Niner draft picks. Mykel Williams, defensive end, Georgia. Alfred Collins, who you just heard from, defensive tackle, Texas. Nick Martin, linebacker, Oklahoma State. And Upton Stout, cornerback from Western Kentucky. First of all four are defensive players. Second of all, it feels like they all at least are pretty darn good against the run. At least the majority of these guys are good against the run. It also seems like, and we don't really know a lot of these guys super well yet, but based on what we heard from Mykel Williams and what we heard right there from Alfred Collins, Sterling, these feel like classic 49er culture guys. That is something, you know, you could think maybe it's overrated. You could think that the Niners could get more talent in their building if they don't really care about that much stuff. But they clearly do, and it does feel like, at the very least, these first two picks that we've heard from so far, Mykel Williams and Alfred Collins, it feels like these are a couple of culture fits as well in this 49er locker room.
The way San Francisco drafted today, not to say it's equal to that of a rebuilding team, but I do think there is some similarities. And San Francisco is more retooling, but it does seem like the defense has lost the culture a little bit. That they do want to have this culture cleanse, then kind of returning back to what it once was under Robert Saleh in 2019 through 2020. With the picks they've made so far, it definitely screams that. Obviously, when you're rebuilding, you want to establish a culture. It's a new regime. It's a new gym. It's a new head coach. They want to bring their guys in, guys they believe in, guys, even if their physical tools aren't the best, if they aren't the best player, the mindset they have, the way they play, the energy they play with, if it's infectious and it can get other guys to, you know, motivate themselves and play better, they want those guys in the building. And I think San Francisco, not to say Devondre Campbell's situation of him walking off the field and quitting mid-game is an example of them losing the plot here, but it, I think, was a pretty big indictment, not on losing the locker room or anything, but it's more so about, you know, where things were headed, how the season went. They need to reestablish the culture, and, you know, I have the big board in front of me here of the consensus. The consensus says they reached 95 picks to get Nicholas Martin, and they reached 75 picks to take Upton Stout. So by the consensus, those are bona fide guaranteed reaches. Yeah. But if the mentality's right, the way they play is correct, and Robert Saleh can get something out of those guys, that's what matters here. There are players that sometimes are bigger, faster, and stronger than you, but there's a David for every Goliath, and if that can be the Davids they've drafted today, well, they can take down Goliaths, maybe Patrick Mahomes one day in the Super Bowl. Fingers crossed it happens, Mark. I need a three-peat, brother. Give me a third chance.
Oh, God. So you mentioned Nick Martin. By the consensus, a heavy, heavy, heavy reach. Do you want to feel, I know you feel all right about it. You're still a little maybe confused, but do you want to feel better about it?
Of course.
Okay, well, let's hear from Nick Martin, the newest Niner linebacker out of Oklahoma State. I've got some sound that our guys in the back are diligently getting ready for. Shout out to both Steven Rizzotto and to Cam Williams. Here is the newest Niner linebacker, Nick Martin, out of Oklahoma State, talking about how excited he is to get in the Niners facility and begin working. Here he is.
I mean, it's a blessing. You know, I grew up watching the draft, and since I was five, I wanted to be in the NFL and be the best at it and get there. And being here is surreal, and it's just a blessing. I'm excited to get to work.
Okay, so that's Nick Martin saying the generic, happy to be here, excited, being drafted is my dream. Not trying to downplay it. I'm sure he feels everything that he said, but we hear that from generally every single person that gets drafted. But this is where I think it gets good. Nick Martin, you're a linebacker, and you're being drafted to a team that employs Fred Warner. What do you think about Fred Warner?
I watch him all the time. He's like the guy that I respect the most at the linebacker position in the league. So it's an honor to get to work with him and learn from him and be his the guy next to him, you know what I'm saying, and just playing with him and learning and growing. And, you know what I'm saying, I'm just excited to work with him.
All right. I mean, hey, Sterling, if there is – what's the quickest way to endear yourselves to 49er fans as a linebacker? It's to heap praise on Fred Warner. Nick Martin's a quick learner. He's already doing that.
I think he added on in a different piece earlier in his college career that he emulates and tries to emulate Fred Warner and Ray Lewis. So,
oh, it's a good combo.
If you want to be a good linebacker in the NFL, go ahead and take on two of the all-time greats right now, a Hall of Famer, and I'm sure a future Hall of Famer in Fred Warner's case. And you're right. You know, it just sometimes it's hard to see the vision from the outside, but in that room, during workouts, during meetings, maybe he's just a high IQ, you know, he's a bookworm, he's picking all these people's minds, and you know, maybe there are things he has to overcome, maybe it's the knee injury he had this past year, but if he's healthy, you know, Nicholas Martin has shown to be a phenomenal tackler, a guy who has high energy, he has that speed that you often saw with Dre Greenlaw, where you were like, Greenlaw's going to hurt somebody, and it's going to be a penalty, but it's going to be really cool to watch happen on the TV or live. And sometimes it was a little too much, but Martin, I think, does play with the kind of reckless abandon yeah. that Greenlaw played with too, so there's give and take there, but when you get your guys in the building, a lot of magic can happen. So maybe it may be a reach for the consensus, but if it works out, it's a pretty darn good pick for San Francisco next to Fred Warner.
Okay, so a reach. I'm trying to remember. When we were sitting here last year on day two of the NFL draft, and the Niners picked Renardo Green, that was also considered a reach, was it not?
Dude, we didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
We said, who was this guy?
So, I mean, and Renardo Green is now entrenched as a starter at corner for you. And he was really, yeah. really good down the stretch last year. So, like, you never know how this is going to work out. And I know you're probably thinking, if you've been with us for the last couple of hours, well, you just got done talking about how confused you were by the draft pick. Yes, it has less to do with the player and more to do with when you could have gotten him. That is the main issue. If the Niners believed that they had to pick him at 75 because they had reason to think he would not be there at 100 and they really like him, then by all means, take the guy that you like. But it is pretty simple logic. If the consensus is he's going to be around later, then take him later and use the more valuable picks that you have earlier in the draft on somebody else. Even if you love player X more than player Y, you have reason to get player Y first if you think they're going to go first. Now, maybe there is somebody else out there who they felt really, really loved Nick Martin, and they did not want to take that chance, and I get it. That's really the reason why I think we're confused. As it relates to Nick Martin, more on Fred Warner. What specifically, Nick, do you like about Fred Warner's game?
I like his ball hawk mentality. He always going after the ball, whether that's punching it out or interception, and how he's always around the ball, always around the guy with the ball, and just figuring out ways to force turnovers. You know, I think that's something he really just imprinted on, really mastered, continued to do good at. So I would say that's something I really pay attention to.
All right, and that's a Nick Martin. More on what he likes about Fred Warner. And we talked about endearing yourself to 49er fans. I also think, Sterling, in that cut alone, we have our answer as to why the 49ers wanted to draft him. Of course, ability is paramount. But also, if there's one thing that Robert Saleh emphasizes as defensive coordinator, it's the ball, the ball, the ball, the ball. Take the ball away. Find ways to take the ball away. And Nick Martin says one of the characteristics he likes the most about Fred Warner is his ball hawking ability, whether it's punching the ball out or dropping back into coverage and intercepting it himself. Yes, that's a way to make yourself look good in the eyes of Robert Saleh and the 49ers defensive decision makers. Go and force a couple of turnovers, then you're going to get more playing time.
Well, it's funny too, because we talked about the minute he was drafted of, he has this safety body, he's a smaller safety body. I think Dane Brugger said that from The Athletic in The Beast, but San Francisco at safety doesn't really care if you're bad in coverage or get beat over the top. As long as you get takeaways and turnovers, Jaquiski Tartt was that way, Talanoa Hufanga was that way, Jair Brown's that way too. They like those ball hockey, can you get an interception, can you break up a play, can you force a fumble, can you come downhill and lay a running back out. Even go back to the Harbaugh era, Dante Whitner and Deshaun Goldson, those guys didn't mind getting beat over the top. If they could lay some wood in front of them and create a fumble.
Deshaun Goldson, oh my God.
Just taking dudes' heads off and, you know, Nicholas Martin isn't that kind of player per se, but you're right, Mark. You can endear yourself to your coaching staff if you get the ball back. I know Nick Sorensen isn't here, but his job when he was in San Francisco was the get the ball back kind of coach. He was the attack the ball drill coach, and you know I think they want to get back to that. Last year, this team did not get takeaways, did not get turnovers, and if you want to score points, the quickest way, yes, is to get in the end zone with your offense, but also get takeaways and turnovers and get your offense back on the field. And I think, and I, you know, with these first few picks or so this year in the draft, no offensive players. They believe in Brock Purdy and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and the weapons they have on offense to be good enough to win football games. Kyle Shanahan and company. The needs are more on defense, but this also tells me that they want to get their offense on the field more in 2025 and believe in the team they already have in place to score more in 2025.
Here's more Nick Martin on what he does well as a linebacker. And we're focusing here on Nick Martin, linebacker out of Oklahoma State, at least for the time being, because of the 49ers' four picks, he's probably the one that left us scratching our heads the most after he was selected. Here is Nick Martin, again, linebacker, Oklahoma State, Niners pick 75th overall in the third round on what he does best.
I would say I'm very athletic, so I like to use that to my advantage. I'm relentless. The way I always go for the kill shot, whether that's maximum effort or punishing a person with the ball, you know, just figuring out ways to just change the tone of the game. And I'm explosive. And I'm just somebody that cares about the guy next to him, always willing to give his all for the guy next to him. And understanding that no rep should be taken for granted, and just always just giving my all each and every down. So
yeah, it's becoming pretty clear whether the Niners like this guy, Sterling.
In my notes I have here, Mark, as you go through scouting, you write things down and you just see what kind of pops off to you on the screen.
Yeah.
I have here, he'll overrun some plays sometimes, he'll miss some tackles here or there, but he's got the work ethic you want to see, and it'll give you 110% on the field every single time. So it comes through when he talks to the media, but also it comes through on film, and I'm sure San Francisco, the reason why they wanted him so bad at a reach at pick 75 is because...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Of what he does on the field, the energy he plays with, and just the all-out effort he gives every single snap. Again, no plays off, no snaps off. Robert Saleh, all gas, no breaks. Yep. You're getting an all gas, no breaks kind of player in Nicholas Martin.
Here's one more. Nicholas Martin, the major concern with him is the knee injury that cost him a bunch of his last season, his most recent season. Only played 5 games with Oklahoma State in 2024. Here he is talking about his knee.
I had got like a contact injury to my knee. It was a MCL tear, healed from it, didn't have to have surgery. And I went into combine 100%, Senior Bowl was 100% as well. And I'm feeling great right now. So I'm ready to get after it and ready just to prove my name and show the world what I'm about. So.
All right, Nick Martin says his knee is 100%, very much like Mykael Williams said his ankle is now 100%. We do have a text that came in a bit ago on the Boxer and Gersten work injury attorneys text line because Upton Stout also missed a handful of games a couple of years ago with an injury that says, why do the 49ers always have an affinity to injured or injury-prone players? It is a fair question far away. I think we're thinking a little bit past this current iteration of the Niners. Maybe it's more of a Trent Baalke thing where he would make a point, it felt like, to draft guys coming off of ACL injuries. There are some injuries to, I would guess, to the majority of the players the Niners have drafted so far. But I think the one thing that we can say, Sterling, is you're a football player. You're going to have injuries at some point. Just because you had one does not mean you're injury prone. But there is that concern. But you are also football players, and you're very rarely is there a player that gets through years of football without some sort of injury that cost them at least a handful of games.
And it's important to point out that Upton Stout missed 6 games not last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it wasn't 2024, 2023. Nicholas Martin did miss time this past year with the knee injury, but Alfred Collins was healthy. He really hasn't missed any time over the course of 5 seasons. And Mykael Williams played through his injury, which he said wasn't a good idea, but it got him a first-round pick at 11. So, and sticking with Mykael Williams for a second, if he wasn't healthy and he was that powerful and that strong, imagine what he can do when the ankle's right. Like, that's a strong dude coming off the edge. But there's also a big difference in, and I've seen this so much over the last 24 hours or so. Oh, Mykael is Javon Kinlaw. He is Drake Jackson. He saw him in Thomas. He's going to be a bust. He's so different from every single one of those players in so many different ways. One, there's not chronic knee injuries. He's not injury prone, but he just happened to get hurt. Nick Bosa gets hurt sometimes. George Kittle gets hurt sometimes. Or Brock Purdy gets hurt sometimes.
Fred Warner gets hurt sometimes.
No.
Yeah.
Right. And we praise Fred for gutting it out last year with the ankle injury. We can praise Mykael Williams for doing the exact same thing last year at Georgia. And, you know, what happened to Drake Jackson was an NFL injury. It wasn't a collegiate injury. That was kind of it happens, it sucks, it stinks. And, you know, there are really no similarities at all from Mykael Williams to every other quote-unquote bust defensive lineman San Francisco has taken the last couple of years or so. So let's erase that from the memory. Bulky's gone. He doesn't have a job currently. And these guys are not injury prone. They just happen to have been injured at certain times in their career.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, there's been too many instances of the 49ers drafting like a relatively big name in college, and they don't even see the field for the 49ers. But you're right. That was more so a bulky thing than this current iteration of the 49ers. They've had their very high-profile misses in the draft, and I don't even need to go through and name them. We know who they are. But they have also there's a lot of them. But they've for almost every single one of those high profile misses, Serling, they have like a fourth round or later round like success story. I mean, Fred Warner was third round, and considering what he is, like, that is an amazing steal for the 70th overall pick. But I mean, George Kittle is a fifth round pick. I mean, even DJ Jones that same year in 2017, who's no longer a Niner, but considering he was a sixth round pick, hell of a pick there. Dre Greenlaw was a fifth round pick. Juwan Jennings was a seventh round pick. And then in 2021, like the Trey Lance, that's the Trey Lance pick, and also it's the Aaron Banks, Trey Sermon, Ambry Thomas, Jalen Moore draft, which Jalen Moore is at the fifth round isn't terrible, I guess.
Right.
But again, the first three rounds of that draft were a disaster. But then you find a way to make it somewhat manageable, because in the fifth round you get D'Amador Lenore and Talanoa Hufanga and Elijah Mitchell. And at one point in their careers, they were all like starters and really good players for you on your team. So like, they've had their successes late. And then of course, I mean, the one that takes the cake over everybody else is the quarterback that's about to be paid upwards of $50, $55, $60 million a year, who was the last pick in the draft in 2022. So like, yeah, they have had their high profile misses, but they've also had some hits on day three of the draft, and day three is coming up tomorrow. And we will begin to look ahead to day three coming up in a little bit and what the plan should be for the 49ers. But as we zoom out for a second, Sterling, on just these four picks specifically, again, Mykael Williams, defensive end from Georgia, Alfred Collins, defensive tackle from Texas, Nick Martin, linebacker from Oklahoma State, and Upton Stout, cornerback from Western Kentucky. Four picks in, three rounds done, Sterling, in the 2025 NFL Draft. I'm not asking you to give a letter grade. You can give it if you want. But overall, these four picks, as a 49er fan, how are you feeling about this draft so far?
The first two picks, you feel incredible. You get two stout run defenders, arguably fix the biggest weakness of this defense.
Two stout run defenders, and then you also get Upton Stout, a corner, am I right?
If it wasn't meant to be, what else was it supposed to be, Mark? The first two picks you feel great about. I think Alfred Collins is going to be awesome in San Francisco. There's a lot of comparisons to Javon Kinlaw, but Javon Kinlaw as a healthy player is a pretty good one. But to me, Alfred Collins can develop into a good pass rusher. So you like those first two picks. I told you, we got on the air and I was like, this is incredible, Mark. This is awesome. We're so back. But there are some questions with Nicholas Martin and Upton Stout, I think if you believe in the coaching staff, if you believe in Robert Saleh and what he likes to do, who he likes to pick, and you believe in what he can get out of these players, you have no reason to, I think, at least if you want to give a letter grade, not give it a B. And a B is a really good place to, well, I guess B. Entering day three with seven more picks on the board in what has been almost the best day for San Francisco in this entire regime's history. So I think you're in a good place. You have some questions, but overall, you have four picks that can be contributors for you in the near future, if not day one.
Yeah, this will bleed into what the plan for day three should be, and we got to take a break here in a couple minutes. But four picks in, you've got two on the defensive line, an edge, an end, and a tackle on the defensive line. You got a linebacker, and you've got a cornerback. You and I spent a lot of time, not just the last two nights, but even throughout the course of the regular season on overtime, talking about the offensive line. Are you concerned? Are you surprised? Because I don't think you're surprised. Two, are you concerned that through two days, there's been no upgrades, or not even upgrades, just any backups and any help at all for the offensive line through three rounds?
Not shocked, not surprised, and this is what they do. They find those guys on day three that you like, that sit for a year, and you know they find the replacements 1 year prior, Colton McKivitz being one of those who took McGlinchey's spot when he left for Denver. They don't mind developing offensive linemen for a couple of years and then watching them grow. Ben Bartsch is one of those guys now. Matt Hennessy could be one of those guys. Drake Nugent could be one of those guys this year. But I do think that they have have to pick somebody. You can't walk in the next year. Like, this team does not have a swing tackle.
Yeah.
It's Austin Pezzens. Who the hell is Austin Pezzens?
Someone's going to get hurt, Sterling. Someone's going to get hurt. It's going to happen.
And so you can look at Logan Brown, who was a tackle from Kansas, and Marcus Bowe. Like, there are players out there that can help you on the interior, at the tackle position, that I think San Francisco should target and will target. Miles Frazier from LSU, guys they had in the building for top 30 visits. So not shocked, not surprised, but eagerly anticipating when that first one comes out the board tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, me too. And it begins 9 a.m. Pacific, if you're out east, noon. The Niners' first pick in the fourth round is the 11th pick in the fourth round. It's 113th overall, so pretty early, of course, in the fourth round. They also have a compensatory pick at the tail end of that fourth round. They've got two picks in the fifth. They don't have their own fifth pick, but they have a pick courtesy of Washington, ninth in the fifth. They have a pick in the fifth via Minnesota, the 24th pick in the fifth, and then they have their own pick in the seventh, the 11th pick in that round, and then two comp picks late in the seventh. So two picks in the fourth, two picks in the fifth, and three picks in the seventh. Would not be shocked if we see them maybe take a couple of those picks, consolidate into one more valuable pick or something like that. We shall see. But currently, the Niners have made four picks. They have seven more remaining. Those seven will all take place tomorrow during day three, the final day of the 2025 NFL draft. Okay, time for a break. When we come back, more on the game plan for day three of the NFL draft for the San Francisco 49ers. This is also your last opportunity to get in on draft night number two here on 95.7 The Game. Any questions, any concerns, any thoughts? You excited? You worried? You didn't like the reach for Nick Martin or for Upton Stout? Let us know. You can call, you can text, you can hit us up on YouTube, 888-957-9570, and on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. We'll wrap things up next right here on 95.7 The Game. He knew this was the spot for him, and once he saw his phone ring and John Lynch popped up on draft night, he was excited, and that is... it's good to hear. Upton Stout, newest Niner quarterback out of Western Kentucky. He was the Niners' last pick of the day, 100 overall, a third-round pick, a compensatory pick for the Niners at the very tail end of that third round. Their fourth and final pick of the first 2 days. They still have seven more draft selections to make tomorrow, at least currently. They could trade away a couple of those. They could, you know, acquire more. We shall see the way it all works out. But they've made four picks through 2 days so far. Mykael Williams, defensive end, Georgia. Alfred Collins, defensive tackle, Texas. Nick Martin, linebacker, Oklahoma State. And who you just heard from, Upton Stout, cornerback from Western Kentucky. As we welcome you back to draft night here on 95.7 The Game, Mark Randy and Sterling Bennett with you. So Sterling, we now flip our attention toward day three of the NFL draft, rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7. Again, the Niners have seven picks currently in the final four rounds. They got two picks in round four, two picks in round five, and three picks in round seven. Nothing currently in round six. What should the game plan be for the Niners? Is this essentially first 2 days are defense only, and then you begin thinking about offense in day three? No offensive line help just yet. I would imagine they're going to pick somebody at some point on the offensive line coming up tomorrow. You feel like they might go running back. This is a very deep running back class as well. You think they could use another wide receiver? But they also feel like they could use a little bit more help on the defensive line. Maybe they add a safety as well. What do you think the Niners' plan of attack should be heading into day four? Because there's still plenty, plenty of help that this roster needs.
Everything. But realistically, I do think there are some pieces on the defensive line. We've talked a lot tonight about you've got your run stoppers, you got your run stuffers, you got to get the pass rushers on the interior as well. Your defensive line with the guys you already had in place, their archetypes are run stoppers. Evan Anderson, Jordan Elliott, Clea Davis is kind of the only interior guy that can get to the quarterback, and even then, he doesn't play, ever, because he's always hurt. So I look at players like Joshua Farmer from Florida State, Aeneas Peebles from Virginia Tech, probably earlier tomorrow. Farmer probably goes pretty quick on day three, and Peebles probably in round five, if you're lucky. I do think if you want to talk about things that they do actually on like the offensive side of things, receiver, they're set, in my opinion. You have Pearsall, you have Jennings, you're going to get Ayuk back in November. DeMarcus Robinson may or may not get suspended for three games. I don't know what's happening there. Maybe he's kind of better. You know, you have Isaiah Hodgins and Tariq Owens. Like, there's some
pieces. Yeah, Jacob Cowling.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how long that lasts. I do like him, but you just... didn't play much last year, but I do like him a lot. But I do think that running back, you traded away Jordan Mason. When you do that, you are now reliant on an older and an injury. I don't want to call him prone, but there have been some injuries with Christian McCaffrey, especially last year, the Achilles and the PCL. Then Isaac Rendo, who has never played a full season in the NFL or at college. So I think you have to find the other guy in that room. You like Patrick Taylor as your fourth guy, as your fifth guy off the practice squad. Israel Benaconda's there, but who cares about that guy? I think running back is certainly a place you could look at. Running back to me is something very... there's very easy players to point to and say, that's a Kyle Shanahan guy. And I have a few for you.
Okay.
That I think could fit here in San Francisco. My favorite of the group is DJ Giddens from Kansas State. He's a bigger body guy. He can replace Jordan Mason. Isn't a receiver, hence why you have Christian McCaffrey and Isaac Arendo. But if you want more of that dual threat player, you can go to Breshard Smith from SMU, give you more of the receiver threat. I also believe that there may be a reality where San Francisco says, we have Kyle Shanahan. The UDFAs are going to come rolling in at running back, and we're going to find four guys who are studs. You know, Jadon Blue from Texas, Devin Neal from Kansas in that grouping, Khalil Mullings from Michigan could be a guy for you. So there are some pieces you can put in place. The offensive line, Marcus Bowe, certainly a pick from Purdue you can put in there. There are, knowing they've gone so defensive heavy, they just have to make the right defensive pick, and it's along that pass rushing line, whereas you have to get a running back now. My father texted me today as we were talking and said, what are they doing on the offensive line?
Like, what's happening? Question.
And his words, not mine. He goes, they've done nothing to protect Brock Purdy. And I responded, well, they didn't gut the offensive line for a reason. They like who they have. And he goes, yeah, but they all suck, so why does it matter?
I mean,
it's like, I can't respond to that and be logical here. So there are some holes. Again, they like developmental pieces on the offensive line. So those first couple picks, what is it, like 113 and like 160 and 147?
Niners pick on 113, 138, 147, 160.
Okay, so there is some places to move around there. You can get an edge rusher, Jaw Joyner, Ahmed Hassanan from Boise State, wrestler background, similar to Micah Williams. There are some pieces in place, so there's a lot of ways they can go. I think they've filled almost kind of other holes, per se, but that pass rushing defensive tackle has to be one of the pieces they bring home tomorrow.
So seven picks tomorrow. You got to think at least one is another edge and one, or at least end, and one is another defensive tackle, and then offensive line, maybe running back. You feel pretty good tight about end. The wide receiver room. Maybe they go tight end. They go with safety as well, and then maybe for good measure they mix in another defensive tackle or a defensive end. We shall see. But I mean,
maybe it's a quarterback.
I mean, maybe I don't think it's ever a bad idea to just take. Take a swing at some quarterback in like the sixth or seventh round. Maybe
Cord, Max Brosmer, Shedeur Sanders. He'll probably be there come Mr. Irrelevant.
He might be.
At this point, so you never know.
He might be. Niners' last pick currently is 252 in the seventh round. The 36th pick in that round. Is that the very last pick in the draft? Seventh round?
So,
No, it's not. There's five picks after him. The last pick in this year's draft is 257, owned by the Kansas City Chiefs. There's 41 picks in the seventh round this year with all the compensatory draft selections going on there. Niners have the 33rd pick in the seventh round and the 36th pick in the seventh round. So they have two chances to pick someone very, very near the tail end of this draft. My issue with the offensive line, Sterling, isn't necessarily anything that they've done this offseason, for example. Like, I don't think letting Aaron Banks walk was a bad thing. I think the cost benefit like analysis that they run there is, well, he's not worth that money. Whoever left, I'm drawing a blank on the name, to Kansas City, Jalen Moore, right? To Kansas City, as essentially he was a Niners swing tackle, and the Chiefs are now paying him starting tackle money. Frankly, I don't think he's worth that either. So I don't have an issue with the Niners letting either of those guys leave the building. Like, that just seems like smart business to me. Like, don't pay guys what they're not what they're worth. Like, okay, that's fine. I just feel like, Sterling, if I could have seen a situation like this arising years ago, then the Niners should have seen it as well. And maybe the reason why is simply what you're laying out. They feel really good about Ben Bartsch and Jake Brendel and Colton McKivitz, and hell, they feel all right about Matt Hennessy and Nick Zakel and Austin Pleasance and Drake Nugent or whoever it is. Maybe they feel good about those guys, and I think most people probably don't feel that good about those guys. Maybe that's the reason, and that's what explains it all away. And if that happens and Jake Brendel moves on or retires or whatever, and they don't extend McKivitz beyond this year or whatever it is, and, you know, Zakel fills in, Pleasance fills in, and they become really good players, like, okay, I'll eat my words. I will have earned it. But my issue, Sterling, isn't, again, what's happened right now. It is, you know, the offensive line market is crazy. It's kind of like every market right now across the NFL, honestly. You know you've had to pay Brock Purdy this offseason, coming up for a few years now. You knew that Aaron Banks was going to become a free agent, and maybe you felt better about him after the previous season. Maybe you felt better about him after two years ago as opposed to right now. And okay, I would buy that. I just feel like the Niners could have felt that not necessarily a reckoning was coming, but the moment was coming where there were going to be some guys on the offensive line that were leaving their building, and considering what they were going to have to pay to some of their other players, including their quarterback this offseason, they should have been a little more prepared for this moment, and it kind of felt like they got caught. A little surprised by the way this all played out, and now they're going to an offensive line that frankly feels a little bit patchwork, and they haven't done a lot in the draft. In fact, they've done nothing in the draft at this point to address it. But even if they make a pick or two tomorrow, it feels like not a lot because they were day three picks. And maybe I'm proven wrong. Maybe this is going to turn out to be a good offensive line. But I just can't yet buy it. And I think my issue, Sterling, isn't what has happened in the last couple of months. It is what has happened or what hasn't happened over the last 2 years.
Well, it's funny because it seems like the only time San Francisco ever invests a high-end pick in the offensive line is when somebody else is leaving, they don't want to pay. The biggest example is Laken Tomlinson, right? Mm. You go draft Aaron Banks, you try to move him to right guard, doesn't work out. You have Daniel Brunskill there, Tomlinson leaves, you don't want to pay him big money, you have Aaron Banks, which was a good decision on their end. Tomlinson's still playing, but he's an older player and hasn't played great in recent seasons. And Aaron Banks, for two of the 3 years he started, was serviceable, if not good, at left guard. They didn't really replace Joe Staley. They just went and got Trent Williams on a third-round pick. They have McGlinchey, who is the lone spot where they just drafted a guy outright, but they went and got Colton McKivitz, who developed for a handful of years, paid him on a two-year contract, three-year contract, and said, you're the guy now. So I think tomorrow you will see a tackle off the board for them, a guy that can probably play inside here or there and give you that flexibility, whether it is Chase Lund from UConn, a guy, because they're not going to want to pay Colton McKivitz. It's too big of a contract. They want to cut some funding here. They want to be, I don't want to call it cheap, but they're already gutting the defense. They don't want to pay some right tackle $10 million per year. So you're going to find somebody get picked tomorrow, and that's going to be the guy you say, well, when Colt McKivitz leaves next offseason, that's the replacement. But they'd never have ever invested on the offensive line with draft picks when they didn't have someone to replace a year down the road. Obviously, you have Trent Williams, but even Jake Brendel was brought in under Alex Mack, and then Mack retires, and Brendel swoops in as kind of a whatever acquisition during an offseason and becomes a starter. So I think your frustration, unfortunately, is like never going to change. It's really annoying. But this is just the way they do things out there in San Francisco. I know a lot of fans wanted Drew Dahlman this offseason, center from Atlanta, but Jake Brendel's under contract for three more seasons. Not too expensive, but that stuff matters for them. So I think you're going to find a fifth-round pick, a tackle, probably somewhere that can play the interior. But ultimately, I would not bank on two, three, four offensive line picks and you say, oh, it's rehauled. We're back. It'll be okay, but that really wasn't enough.
Yeah.
That is kind of always going to be what you see during draft day for them.
Yeah. No, I just don't really get it. And, like, I don't have a problem, again, like letting Aaron Banks walk and letting Jalen Moore walk. Like, okay, that's
a $72 million.
So much money.
What are you doing, Green Bay?
They're not worth that. Neither of them are. No. I mean, with the contract that Jalen Moore got either, he's not worth that either. But I also understand, like, it's not like you can just go out there on the free agent market and sign, like, a star tackle. Like, that just doesn't happen. Because if you have a really good tackle, it is one of the most important pieces on your roster. If you draft a tackle that turns out to be good, they almost never hit free agency. Like, the teams that draft those dudes, you just sign them. It's why the Trent Williams acquisition was a godsend. And, I mean, maybe other than the Brock Purdy draft pick, like, maybe the singular best move that this franchise under John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan have made. Because they literally replaced, like, a franchise legend, arguably Hall of Fame offensive lineman, left tackle Joe Staley, with maybe one of the best left tackles of all time. Like, an incredible move. But you know
never
how
happens that way.
Yeah, it never you know how rare that is? One, to have a great left tackle, he retires, and to replace him with an even better one, like, that doesn't happen. But the fact that a left tackle, any offensive lineman of that caliber is available, it, like, rarely ever happens. And then, when that does happen, the fact that you are the team that is able to acquire him is even less likely. So, if we're operating from the standpoint of being able to acquire, like, a proven offensive lineman is, like, frankly, nearly impossible, the only way to get good offensive linemen onto your team in a consistent fashion is to draft them. And for a team that maybe not so much of late, but definitely is leaning back into it this year, but for the teams whose game plan was when they first got to San Francisco, and I'm talking specifically about Shanahan and Lynch, was to build from the trenches out, I feel like they haven't really done that consistently on the offensive line. And I think it's a major oversight. I really can't get over it. And I know what you're going to say. It's they just disagree. And I am in total agreement with you. I just, for the life of me, can't possibly see what they see in the offensive line. And again, considering the way that offensive line works in the NFL, if you have a good one, you just don't let them get to free agency. The only consistent way to get talent in your O-line room is to draft them. And I'm talking about draft picks like before day three. And they just don't do it consistently. When they do it consistently, they get starters. Like Aaron Banks, say what you want, started for them for a few years. Dominic Pooney's likely going to be a starter at right guard for years. I mean, you go back even further to Mike McGlinchey. I mean, yeah, again, maybe not the best, and maybe you wish you could have gotten a little bit more for a top 10 pick. But, I mean, he was your starter for years. When they have used those picks on offensive linemen, generally, they've gotten decent production. And now I feel like, as a result, they're not going to get as good of production. And I know they're not using as many resources on it, so you're able to help the team out elsewhere. I just think it's a major oversight in this this regime's overall like planning for how to build a successful roster?
Well, and it's compounded by the fact that the Rams have a really good defensive line. Philadelphia just tore to pieces Kansas City's offensive line, which was heralded as one of the best on the interior. And the answer San Francisco has to watching that isn't, we got to take four offensive linemen and beef up the trenches on the offensive side. It's, let's do that too on defense and see how that works. And it's like, okay, like, yes, I agree with you that you need to have Micah Williams and Alfred Collins. And, oh, that's great. And I'm happy for those guys and happy they're in San Francisco. They're going to be good players, hopefully for a long time. But usually the response when, you know, a new thing takes over the NFL, whether it's a scheme change, like when teams, like what, when the Wildcat came into the NFL, Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams, other teams didn't start running the Wildcat too. They said, how do we stop the Wildcat? And so for the Niners, you would like the response to be, okay, yes, get your defense beefed up, sure, bring back Saleh, but maybe the response should be, get a better center, better left guard, better right tackle, insulate yourself because someone's going to go down. And there's a reason as to why Philadelphia has won two Super Bowls since 2018. It's the same offensive line the whole time. They bring those guys back. They make sure to insulate themselves, draft good replacements early on day two. And look, San Francisco has had a lot of success in their own right doing things their way and arguably should have two rings to prove it. However, they don't. And the NFL is changing. The winds of a change are coming. And you don't want to be left behind. And San Francisco, it feels like, is trying to play catch-up on defense, where you may find yourself sitting back in 2025 saying, well, now in 2026, got to play catch-up on offensive line too. So what they've done so far is good, but it does show you that San Francisco has a lot of work to be done, and you hope on day three tomorrow that they can find the few high-end prospects still remaining to improve the offensive line this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. All right, we got a couple minutes left with you here on draft night. Number two here on 95.7 The Game, Sterling Bennett, Mark Rennie with you. Unfortunately, we won't have day three coverage of the draft here for you on 95.7 The Game because we do have Warriors basketball coming up tomorrow. We'll have Warriors this week from 9 to noon as always. And then I've got you covered for Warriors Live beginning not an hour before tip-off as usual, but an hour and a half. The tip-off is at 5:30, Game 3, Warriors-Rockets from Chase Center. A 5:30 tip, which means Warriors Live a full hour before a half-hour network pregame. I'll be live from Chase Center beginning at 4 tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game to get you ready for Warriors and Rockets. But Sterling, final thoughts before we get on out of here. Let's focus specifically on the Niners' first pick in the fourth round tomorrow, 113th overall, the 11th pick in tomorrow's fourth round. I know you've thrown out a bunch of names for guys that they should target in general in day number three, but specifically 11 picks away, Sterling. Give us a few names that the Niner fans should be keeping an eye on for who the Niners might go with there, a position, a couple of positions to keep an eye on, and a few names. Who do you think is high on the Niners list for that 113th pick, 11th pick in the fourth round tomorrow when we get underway at 9 a.m.?
Let's start on the offensive line since that's been the predominant conversation in the last 5 minutes or so. I think Purdue offensive lineman Marcus Bowe is a player San Francisco will likely target or at least has some interest in. Okay. He was in for a top 30 visit. He can play tackle. He can play guard. He can play center. He is that smaller guy that's versatile, that's got a quick first step. But like every right tackle or every guard and center in San Francisco's history under Kyle Shanahan, the anchor is a problem. But that to me means he'll probably be a San Francisco 49er tomorrow when the pick is made. Some more players are there. Logan Brown, Kansas tackle. So maybe they go the Dominic Pooney, same pipeline route. They can get into maybe the Chase Lunt conversation, a bigger tackle. He fits the archetype better on the offensive line. If you want to go on the edge rushing group, we talked plenty about them. to pair with Micah Williams, this year's first round pick. There's players like Elijah Roberts from SMU. He can play inside, he can play outside. Ahmed Hassanein, probably going to be a later day three pick, but San Francisco likes him a lot. He's from Egypt, came over to America when he was in high school. He's a CrossFit athlete, wrestler, fits really what they like to do out of Boise State. And then there's players like Braden Swinson from LSU, who was at times talked about being a first-round pick in this year's draft, a 6'4", 255, eerily similar to Micah Williams' height and weight, but he has a 32.6 pass rush win rate, so it could be a top-end player still on the board them or for them on day three. He doesn't have the power, but he has the bend, the speed, the quickness, so a good parallel or a good kind of a balancing of nature for Micah Williams to get Braden Swinson there from LSU.
Awesome. All right, so offensive line or defensive tackle or edge. Those are the spots that Sterling is looking for, and I can't argue with that. I mean, they've made four picks. All have been on defense, two on the defensive line. They need more help there, and we just spent 20 minutes talking about the offensive line. So clearly, we both think that they could use some help on the offensive line as well. Sterling, that's all we have time for today. It's been great hanging out with you for the last couple of nights. Four picks down, seven more to go for the 49ers tomorrow. Unfortunately, Sterling and I will not be back tomorrow for draft coverage, but you can give Sterling a follow on Twitter at 49ers_access. He will have coverage for you there. There's very few out there that do it better than Sterling, so you can follow along for him there on social media. Sterling, it's been great hanging out with you, and maybe we'll catch up again at some point in the offseason, and if not, perhaps we got overtime once again. We'll have to wait and see come the fall.
Sounds like an awful lot of fun, Mark. I hope we get to do it again this season.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. All right, that's Sterling Bennett. I'm Mark Randy. Shout out to our guys behind the glass, Steven Risotto and Cam Williams as well, making us sound good here on this Friday night. And thanks to all of you for tuning in the last couple of nights right here on 95.7 The Game. We've got Warriors basketball for you tomorrow. We'll kick it off with Warriors this week, 9 a.m. to noon. And then I'll be on the air live at 4 from Chase Center to get you ready for tip-off at 5:30 between the Warriors and the Rockets. Game three, a pivotal game three. Jimmy Butler questionable. Is he going to play? You have to tune in to find out. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great rest of your Friday night, and we'll talk tomorrow right here on 95.7 The Game.